That's the danger of this team. It's crazy.
If you think about it, for today's game, the way it's taught, the way it's coached, the way it's reffed, this is a perfect team.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually. This is a perfect 1-10.
It's the future.
Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome in to Down and Distance. Little basketball edition, man. We got to get ready for game 3 tonight in the land. The Warriors up 2-0 in the series. The Cavs, man, they got to find themselves a win tonight. It's a must win. Backs up against the wall. We get a chance to talk with Vincent Goodwill, Bulls insider for CSN Chicago. Follow him on Twitter at VGoodwill. VG, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? It's good to finally get in the studio with y'all.
Man, we appreciate it. We've had you on the phone. Now we have you live and in person. But I got to ask you this question, man. Did we see the NBA Finals already happen in the Western Conference Finals?
I know everybody likes to say that, but I do think that Cleveland is a very good team. I think they're the best of a bad bunch in the East. And I'm not so sure if Oklahoma City had the mental fortitude. If you can give up a 3-1 lead, you know, I don't think you deserve to say, well, we should have been in the finals. You gave up a 3-1 lead. You had a chance. You had basically 3 games to put a team away, and you basically choked it away. So I do think Cleveland deserves to be here, but I will say I'm disappointed in the way that they're playing right now.
The irony of this is we all expected the East to be much tougher. Like, we thought Milwaukee was going to take a step forward. I'm talking about before the season.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Other people thought Milwaukee would take a step forward. Some people thought Orlando. People were picking Orlando to be like the fourth or fifth seed into the season.
They were buying into that Scott Skiles.
And, of course, we thought the Bulls would be a challenge.
Everybody.
To the Cleveland. Not Mr. Detroit right here.
Mr. Logic. Mr. Logic over here.
There were a lot of people that said, I'm talking about people that played the game. You see them on TV every week that said, man, I think the Bulls are a tough matchup for Cleveland. Did the rest of the East do Cleveland a disservice by kind of not stepping it up and not stepping their games up to give Cleveland that type of pressure or environment leading into the NBA Finals?
I don't know if it's necessarily that. I think Toronto, you look at Toronto, they overachieved. Mm-hmm. You look at the Bulls, who basically gave them the toughest series they've had in 2 years, and think about everything the Bulls had going in that playoff series last spring. That's just an indictment.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, LeBron James is that great of a player that wherever he goes, he's getting to June, and there's basically nothing you can do about it. Now, what happens when he gets there, is another story. But LeBron, that's like a one-way ticket to June, and that's just
– I like that.
For where it is, where his career is right now, that's saying a lot.
I want to get into that a little bit later, but I do want to ask about, because game 3, it's a big deal. What kind of adjustments is LeBron –
which coach are you talking about here?
Tyronn Lue going to have to make? And is there adjustments? When you look at this Warriors team, after game 1, Vincent, I was like, I made a couple of bets, handshake bets with friends, $5 here. I was already giving people money after game 1. Like, hey, man, I think it's just too hard to watch what Golden State does, the matchups. I just don't see the matchups with Cleveland. What can they do to kind of bounce back in game 3?
I don't know if there's anything that Cleveland can do within their character that matches up with Golden State. I think people are starting to come to realize that this Golden State team is a really, really good
team.
Historic, really great ball club. If you think about it, many other years, maybe Cleveland, the way that they play, playing like Golden State, maybe Cleveland wins this series if you're not going up against another dynasty. Like, this is a dynasty that basically we're looking at the birth of it. And unfortunately, there's going to be some casualties of it. We saw it with Jordan and some of the teams that they put out on their way to winning 6. Cleveland just looks like, LeBron looks like one of those teams that's going to be a casualty. Now, getting to the game, if I'm Cleveland, the last thing I'm trying to do is play like Golden State. I got to make it ugly. I got to, whether it's going big and saying, you know what, if y'all going to bomb us to death from 3, we're going to go from 3, but I got to beat you up.
Isn't that amazing? Because we saw LeBron, forget his usage and the fabulous series he put on, losing in 6 last year. True. But just the mechanics of how they kept the series close. By being physical, winning the rebounding battle, making a defensive series, and getting it to the fourth quarter and making games tight, not allowing Golden State to be as fluid as they were once they inserted Iguodala then and got more fluid and they didn't have an answer. But not having Mozgov, I mean, I see this big seven-footer that he's not a scrub.
No.
But the fact that he can't get any tick at all
is
amazing to me.
It's the way that they play now. And, fortunately, depending on what side you sit on, this Golden State team, although they look very similar to last year, they're not babies anymore. Like last year, they were trying to figure
totally
it
different
out.
Bravado.
Yeah, they got that championship arrogance and that swagger. Like, okay, we can go down 15. We can go down 3-1. And we're going to come back and beat you. Like, I think that series did a lot for their confidence to say, you know what, we can pull ourselves out of any situation. So now I think they're playing with clear heads, free minds and spirits and everything else. And Cleveland, although Cleveland mucked up that series and LeBron had to take every shot, it wore him down. By game four, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he was dead tired. He had nothing left. And I think you're looking at a guy – 6 straight years in the finals, man, that takes a lot out of
you. People don't realize that, yeah.
It's a lot.
And it's amazing, that answer that he gave to Phil kind of rides what you're talking about right now. He's saying, look, I'm not just about to come out and just take 40 shots.
I don't think he has it in him.
Yeah.
You know, he's played a lot of basketball,
but
man.
But not only do they need, even if he did that, I mean, you got to have some type of
look. Let me
you
got to
have
man.
Some type of help as well, man. You need another. You look at this series, and you looked at last. We talked about this last week, Vincent. It was about how coming into the series, they're healthy at that point, right? You got your big three, and that wasn't the case of last year. You know, you come in, LeBron's trying to do it all. Kevin Love gets knocked in the head. Kyrie holding on the ball too much, trying to figure it out. He's got to have some help. When you look at how this team is constructed, constructed around what he wanted to do. And to me, now we're starting to look at it, that's becoming kind of a little bit of downfall. And you look at Golden State, and I'm so glad you talked about this. Nobody in Chicago, because of the Jordan Bulls, wants to talk about how good this team is. Give these boys credit, man. This Golden State team, man, listen. Just open up your minds and open up your hearts to see greatness.
We just talked about this,
right?
When it's greatness, appreciate it.
Just appreciate it.
Stop trying
to
dissect it. I mean, just to give Vince some of what we were just talking about, we were talking about the connection between Ted Williams, Muhammad Ali, and Michael Jordan. The greatest hitter of all time, the greatest boxer of all time, the greatest player in basketball, and they all missed considerable time in their prime.
No, here's not just that. And if you tie that in, especially to Jordan here, here's something I don't think people have considered. Michael Jordan missing those 2 years did wonders for him.
Yeah.
Did wonders for his body. I mean, look at, what's Kobe Bryant, 36, 37?
Yeah, I think he's a year older than I am. So I'm 35, so he's either 37 or 30.
I think he just turned 38.
No, his birthday's like in July or August or something
you're
like
right.
That.
So he's 37, I think.
Okay, so he's 36, 37, and we've been seeing Kobe on his last legs for 3 years because he's been playing ball, nothing.
All the time.
Mike's last year in Chicago, he turned 35 midseason. And although he was dead tired by the end of that, he looked like a young 35 compared to some of the guys we see. LeBron is my age. He's 3 weeks younger than me. LeBron looks like an old 32. Like, you don't see – he doesn't have the bounce in his step.
Yeah.
Like, as an athlete, I think, and I'm sure you know it, that extra quick twitch that you need, LeBron is not the athlete that he was 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
There's nobody at the rim. I saw him against Detroit when he was 22, and he just flew around the floor and dominated that one game, dunk after dunk after dunk. And you don't look and see any big bigs down there. If this is 22-year-old LeBron – he's moving Iguodala out the way.
Right.
He's moving Draymond Green out the way. He may not physically strength-wise you, but he going to fly over you.
Yeah.
He can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's the decline that you're starting to see with if you're going to build a team around LeBron, that's a high ceiling. Like, you're going to get to June, but it's a hard ceiling because you might not go further
now
than
he
that.
He needs to understand this is
– bro,
Mike, greatness has a problem – really understanding what needs to be that's the credit we talk about Jabba, aka Jerry Krause, all the time. But the vision he had with what needed to be, Michael Jordan didn't choose Scottie Pippen. He didn't move up and trade for him. He didn't take Horace Grant. He made small, subtle moves knowing this is what I need around Mike to get our team to the next level. And then, of course, the development next to Mike was a whole nother different issue. Somebody needs to take LeBron in the back room and say, right now, you need to let us build around
you. So I need to ask both of you guys. You guys are the basketball minds, man. I'm a football dude, man. I just watch basketball.
You're an athlete. You know, you're an athlete.
What does this team look like with Andrew Wiggins on it, on that Cavs team?
Amazing. Defensively, we can just start there.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, it's totally different.
Well, I think with youth comes stupidity. It's hard to win when you've got – I compare LeBron to like a woman who's 35 and she wants to have a baby. She ain't got time to mess around with no 22-year-olds.
Right.
That window is open now. Ooh, Kevin Love is out for game 3. I just got the He's out. But you know what? That could help Cleveland.
That's what I was about. I was gonna
now they have to go
that.
Back to that big lineup or probably a more physical.
No, they can,
Channing
they just
Frye
play
probably starts.
They just play smaller at 4. You move LeBron
to the four,
which is basically which should be his position as he gets older.
So does Shump come into the starting lineup or
either Shumpert or you slide Kyrie to the 2, you start Dellavedova and pray for Kyrie and pray for Stephen Curry's ankles in the meantime.
That might actually free J.R. Smith up a little bit.
He ain't ready.
I agree. One thing the spotlight has done is expose all the corners and the dirt in the corners for Cleveland in their individual games. Kyrie Irving?
I thought Kyrie – you can't tell me. You couldn't have told me that Kyrie Irving won a killer. I thought Kyrie was a stone-cold killer. And I think he's had 2 bad games. Like, I think Kevin Love isn't as good as what people think they are.
Right. Yeah.
But I think Kyrie Irving, at worst, can get you buckets whenever.
Yes.
The problem is he's not getting you buckets. And he's not, and he's the mark on defense. Like, they're looking at him like, hey,
right,
backdoor you.
Yep.
Pick you. Whoever got the matchup on Kyrie, we going to confuse him because, A, he's not used to playing defense. B, he don't want to play defense.
Man.
And that's all we picking out the weak linebacker. He's the weak. Let him free. That'd be like, I watch Barry Sanders all the time. They will open up that line, and they let that dude come through.
Yeah.
A shake. Dude hit the flow, Barry gone for 25 yards.
Telling you, man.
That's Kyrie. He's the mark.
Sitting on here with Down and Distance, talking with Vincent Goodwill from Bulls Insider from CSN Chicago. Listen, there's a lot of stuff going on, but I think one thing that we haven't talked about is that this Golden State team is doing all this without the Splash Brothers really going off, right? And it's really been the tale of that Warriors bench.
Shout out to Sean Livingston.
I mean, Peoria native, right?
Yep.
Got to give credit to that's the thing I see when you look at matchups. Everybody in this lineup basically can shoot 3, so you put anybody out and just watch your bench come out, have your stars on the bench hanging out, and those bench players are not only giving you good minutes, they're also giving you points. How do you contend with that? Because we know you look at Cleveland's bench, it's not as deep.
Now, this playoffs, I've looked at the bench for Golden State, and they've been hampered on the road. That's what I'm waiting to see. Like, their change on the road is night and day from when they're at home. They get loose at home, then they get on the road, they tighten up, shorter bench by the time the second half comes around. But then that's when you have the Splash Brothers.
That's when you
explode. Clay can I'm going to drop
poison.
20 in this quarter, get you to the 5-minute mark of the fourth quarter, Steph, take over. That's the danger of this team. It's crazy.
I mean, if you think about it, for today's game, the way it's taught, the way it's coached, the way it's reffed, this is a perfect team, virtually. This is a perfect 1-10. Like, you can bring Maurice Spates, and he'll pop off and shoot 3s. You can bring in Festus Ezeli off the bench, block some shots, grab some rebounds. Yeah. Sean Livingston, a guy you can stick him on the block at 6'7". Who can be a starter for about 10 or 11 teams in this league, you stick him on the block and you tell him, go to work. And like you say, not only are you holding water with your bench in the game, you're increasing your lead. So when the stars come back in, if they have to, there's no real pressure on them. You already against the ropes. I'm just waiting on the knockout punch. and you got Stephen Clay with the left hook and the right jab, night-night.
That's different from what we've seen, because even when the Bulls dominated, it was 1-2.
Not like this.
Bro. No, not like this, because Mike would wait.
Yeah.
But Mike always said, look, if I get 8 points a quarter, I got 32. That's the way he looked at it. And he knew he could dominate and take over at any time. But you always had Scotty just being Mr. All Around, or you always had totally different.
We're not talking about Scotty Pippen.
No, I'm just saying the Bulls really didn't have the 1 through 10.
Yeah.
Like Vincent's talking about with Golden State.
And they had one.
Dude, I'm not going to get into it with you, man. Vincent Goodwill, CSN Chicago, covers the Chicago Bulls.
Gosh.
Let's go ahead and take a detour.
Before we
coming.
Before we get off the highway.
I see it coming.
Before we get off the highway, we have to talk about this greatness with the conversation all season long with these two teams. And what I've come to realize is that I'm a Chicagoan, and I love the Chicago Bulls, and I still think 72 wins is still – that's my team. That's my squad, right? But watching this Golden State team, first of all, I know one thing. The Bulls are not – they're not sweeping this team, right? It's going to be a battle.
Yeah. The Bulls went
Bulls went in seven. But I still want to know – I want to know one thing. Everybody talks about how physical the game was, and it was. I know it's changed. But you can throw all that out if you're coming across half court and you shooting up from 30 or 28. How do you defend that?
The only thing I think, and people, we're talking about the second three-peat. The first three-peat Bulls, Steph Curry would kill John Paxson. So it's that's nasty. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. But that second three-peat, the length of the Bulls on the perimeter is something that Oklahoma City had.
I agree with that.
That gave Golden State problems. And the thing is, the Bulls would have the best closer in the series.
Yeah.
With the greater will in the series. Now, that's the only thing I point to, is watching what OKC did to Golden State with their length and say.
But they figured it out.
They did. But my whole point is, you give Mike an 8-point lead with 5 minutes, you're not coming back. Not at the Chicago Stadium or the United Center.
Well, see, once
it's not happening.
But see, that's why it's so difficult. Like, I heard Magic has come out and said my team would beat their team, and Shaq has come out and said our team.
I saw Shaq this morning.
It's like everybody's just jumping on their lawn and just shaking their
fists. I disagree with Shaq, because I saw when a complete team that actually played defense faced them, even though that was the fourth time they had been to the finals, so they were at the end of the rope. But what the Pistons were able to do with them with guard play, with Chauncey and with Rip, I think Clay and Steph would give them problems as well.
And this is not me. Don't think this is me being contrarian. I don't think the 96 Bulls was the best Bulls team.
I can agree with that.
Okay.
Because it wasn't the best Mike.
I can agree with that.
The best Mike, 91, 92, you know, usually those guys peak around 27, 28.
I think when he faced Clyde, that's when he had a huge chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He was right at the prime, the Olympics,
I think people get enamored by the record. 72 it just feels good.
It does feel good.
Agreed. Well, if I was in Chicago, you know, whatever. But, you know, you look at the league and the expansion, they had the Raptors come in that year, they had Vancouver come in that year. That's a guaranteed 6 wins, although I think they lost to Toronto
year. They lost to Toronto.
Damon Stoudemire.
Mighty Mouse gave him the business.
Lit up Ron Harper's old ass.
It was in Toronto, too.
Right. But I do think historically, like when you talk about, the best Bulls team and how it fits up and matches up with Golden State, I would just say, man, Steph Curry is something we've never seen before. A guy who can shoot the ball at range, handle the ball the way he does. Like, him and Kyrie have a similar handle, except Steph steps to the side when he's healthy and launches a three. Like, Mike has been something we didn't see before, to a degree, on evolution of Dr. J, David Thompson, you know, that type of thing. Steph Curry is an evolution of, like, Ray Allen, Isaiah Thomas, Steve Nash, all these things basically into one. So to compare it and say what would happen in a 7-game series, I can't say for sure that one team or another would win. Like, if you're giving Steph Curry in a game 7, a hypothetical game seven and you putting Scotty on him, I saw Scotty get crossed over by Kobe Bryant on that Kobe to Shaq thing. And Kobe ain't had no mean crossover. Steph got a mean cross. So all you need is that little sliver of daylight. Remember, didn't Steph hit a three on KD in game seven where KD was draped over him? And KD is 7'1" with a longer wingspan than Scotty. Now, he's not the same defensive player, but that didn't bother him there. You know what I'm saying? So it would be difficult, and plus Golden State would have a lot of guys to guard Mike. Not saying it would be good guarding Mike, but they got the guys to guard him.
Before we get off this highway.
Go ahead. I told you, we're still on, man. There's an oasis right up there. There's an oasis. We got to get some gas.
Would you ever rock a Bulls Jordan jersey and post it on social media?
You got to ask me if I own a Bulls Jordan jersey.
There you go. There you go.
I got three Jordan Authentics. I got a Blue Wizards. I got a black Jordan, not the pinstripe, but the black one, and a red one.
He's rocking Jordans, people.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what fans were saying that because you know
I hate everything Chicago,
but
I hate Kanye West. I hate Chance the Rapper. I hate Garrett's popcorn. What else do I hate?
Gosh,
I hate Navy Pierre.
I understand. I'm rocking the Zeke Pistons all day.
Oh, man.
Just because he's Shot Town, man. I don't look.
Just because I don't think that y'all team is great don't mean that I hate Chicago.
Right.
All right. We all know.
And it's not too much there. I won't say I hate Jay Dilla, though.
Now,
I love Dilla.
I can never say that.
I love Dilla in the slum.
Listen.
I can't bring myself to say that.
I can never say that.
I would never say that.
Dude.
I would never say
that. I'm a sample. I love samples.
I love the Breakfast Club. You ever been to the Breakfast Club in the D?
No.
It's pretty good food.
We not bad, man.
Yeah, Burn Rubber is my spot there. Get some nice fresh gear, some kicks.
I've only been to Detroit like two times.
The rest of the city.
Once for a Super Bowl.
Oh,
that was one of the worst Super Bowls ever, too.
It was look, man, I didn't want to be in Detroit that week. I was still in college then. I didn't want to be there that week.
Let me tell you, though, we had a good time. Yeah.
I heard that vibe party that week. It was a vibe party.
I didn't go to the vibe party.
I heard people had in Detroit, they had shuttles around there so people wouldn't have to rent cars and drive around because the weather was so bad. But
horrible.
But once you actually got there and you got around, I heard some people got some work in Detroit.
Oh,